You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
Now, do you believe that?
Are they really listening
to State of the Arts?
That man with the nice voice would not lie to us, Michael. He knows exactly what he's doing.
He sounds very commanding.
That's right. Almost, right. You know what we're talking about today, right?
I do.
Ho ho, mateys!
We talking pirates today, Michael.
Pirates
I'm so excited.
Wild.
Right, that wait, new reality show. Hold on.
Yeah.
We can make
pirates
some serious
gone wild
money
at the Pasadena Playhouse. That's what we're doing today.
That's
yeah.
right. No
it's
doubt
a party,
about
baby.
It.
Baby, it's a beach party.
We got a fun room here today, man. I can feel that energy already. Michael's on today.
We really are flying through the new year, aren't we, Andrew?
No doubt about it. It's been happening quick.
But we have a couple of very, very talented performers with us today. From, let's see if I can say this again, the Pasadena Playhouse performance of Pirates of Penzance.
Wow, Michael, that was a lot of a very model of a modern major mouthful kind of thing you said there.
You could never be hired to be in that show. No, you
That's a lot of P's that you had to say there for the Pasadena Playhouse Pirates of Penzance, man.
Exactly. Sure.
Well, no doubt about it. That is a very cool thing. And what a musical mouthful of a show we have today.
Absolutely. Please welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Tina Munoz-Pandia and Dana Omar. Dana.
Dana.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. Welcome.
I was so close.
That's right.
So close.
Welcome, ladies. What a pleasure to have you here today.
Thanks yeah. for having us.
Have you guys been enjoying working on this amazing piece of theater?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, cool. For sure.
The most fun.
Well, we love the Pasadena Playhouse.
Yes,
obviously,
we
it's
do.
A cool location. And we're going to talk to you a little bit more about that in a minute here. But before we do that, we need to pay some bills. You guys will stick with us, and we'll see you on the other side?
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Cool. Michael, shall we do that?
Absolutely. We'd like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, Princess Cruises for coming on board. See how I did that?
Very nice.
As presenting sponsors for State of the Arts during 2018, a pioneer in excellence on the high seas. For meaningful travelers who seek enriching experiences, only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new, providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, cultures, and loved ones in a new way.
One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world, renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options including extravagant entertainment, and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in the worldwide cruising industry, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations worldwide aboard a fleet of 18 modern vessels.
Yes, indeed. And we'd also like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live and Mike Napoli and his team for lending their support to State of the Arts.
That's right. Yeah. Michael, such a great resource for the arts, to be sure. And, of course, Princess Cruises is so dedicated to the arts as well. But speaking of great things, anything great happen in your theatrical week, my friend?
In my theatrical week. I'm preparing for it to happen. Let me put it that way.
What you got coming up?
A Million Dollar Quartet.
Of course.
Yeah. The regional return of it at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center and the Cerritos Center for the Performing Arts.
And when does that open?
And we open on February 10th to the press. Down at Redondo Beach. Have you ever been to the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yes.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Yeah.
And we play there through the 18th, and then we reopen on the 23rd of February and go through March 4th at the beautiful Cerritos Center for the Performing Arts.
Very exciting.
And, yeah, I mean, this is the story of, you know, a moment in history that was quite exciting in the music world of Memphis and at Sun Records when the only time it's ever happened, the gathering of Elvis Presley, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Carl Perkins all in the same
Amazing.
Room, and it turned into the biggest jam session in music history.
Oh, man, how much would you have loved to have been there for it?
All on record.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a fly on the wall for sure.
That's great.
Yeah, so it's a fun show. It's a great score of music that you will know. So if you have your calendar out, ladies and gentlemen, as you're listening to this show, just take down this address, 3dshows.org. 3D Theatricals is the name of the producing company. And again, 3dshows.org. You can purchase your tickets there for either of the performances at those two theaters.
That's right. Now, how can people get tickets otherwise? Can they jump on brown paper tickets as well? Is it there?
No.
So they got to go straight to the website.
Okay,
3dshows.org.
3DT shows, excuse me.
3DTshows.org. Okay, well, that's great. And obviously, 3D does such great work. I mean, that's Broadway quality entertainment here in Southern California.
So. Have you ever seen the show?
I have never seen. No, I've never seen that show. But I got to tell you, the music, I mean, it's like listening to a concert. You know, I mean, when you get the soundtrack, it's such great music, and it's so authentic too, and great performers in 3D's production of it as well. So
yes.
Some cool things to see there.
Yes,
how the puppies doing? Are they happy and healthy?
They are.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
Were they good to you this morning?
They were.
Okay.
They're always good to me.
Good.
Hey, it's the other way around. Sometimes I have to scold them for things that they do, but you know what? When those eyes look back at you when you're scolding them, you just feel like such a heel.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, no one are you? I take it all back.
I use that trick on the show. Whenever I make a mistake, I just give Michael the big puppy dog eyes, and he just says, oh, Andrew, that's okay. Don't worry, it's great. Yeah, it's true, too, because I remember at one point I was talking to my, I had a little Shih Tzu, and I done something
how you
wrong.
Say that.
Right? He chewed on our table leg, I think, or something like that. And I said, his name was Trouble. I said, Trouble, you can't do that. And he looked up at me and just kind of, I said, ah. You're cute enough. You can probably do it. You know, it's like you let them get away with it. And then you have children, and you realize that continues. You're like, oh, go ahead. You're so sweet. You can handle it. So, yeah, they get away with murder, don't they, Michael?
They do sometimes. But
you spoil them.
God love them. It's worth the every time I come home, again, and when that door opens, and they're both standing there. You know, they know.
That constant love and affection is a good thing.
Do you believe that they have the dogs have a sense of time?
Yeah, I think so.
You do?
I think so, absolutely.
Me too.
And it's interesting, too, because I think you can certainly confuse them out of it on occasion. But if you let them get into a routine, they know when you're supposed to be home. And if you're an hour late, something like that, they know it. Yeah.
Right.
Have you been to a shelter recently or anything like that, looking at some of the puppy adoptions going on?
I have not. But I signed my name on a petition of something that was quite disturbing that came across my email through Facebook. And it is the fact that Putin, President Putin of Russia, is going to have all of the live dogs, cats who are homeless killed for the upcoming World Cup games in 2018 because he wants his country to and the people who come into the games to feel comfortable and be proud of the environment.
Yeah, tough to sit in those seats knowing what just happened before we got there.
It's so despicable and so insensitive and just so Trump-like. I mean, it is, you know, geez. What's next?
I think that one of the things that's been so good about what's been going on recently, and certainly in California, I think throughout the country, is pet adoptions are up. People are adopting more pets, I think partially because they would like that constant love and attention when they come home. They're like, yeah, I need a little more furry goodness in my life immediately, please. So, and it's interesting because so many pets, so many adoption, pet adoptions are going through now. People running out there getting one or two dogs. I had a friend who just went and got two new puppies, mixed breed, and they got them and they grabbed them and they brought them home. And within 2 days, they were completely acclimated to their new surroundings and just
and
loving
so
it.
Grateful, so grateful, I'm sure.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, too. I think they certainly have a sense of who loves them.
Yeah,
so
we'd
encourage people, obviously, to jump out there and look into that, too, if you're looking to bring a furry little one home. Michael, we have two lovely ladies sitting here. Shall we bring them into the show?
I think we should.
Let's do it. Our first guest is a graduate of the University of Michigan and the school at Steppenwolf. She comes to us from Chicago Stage, where she put credits up, including The Rembrandt with Steppenwolf Theater, The Great and Terrible Wizard of Oz with the House Theater of Chicago, Tall Girls with Shattered Globe Theater, and Octagon with Jackalope Theater. Touring credits include Midsummer Night's Dream, Julius Caesar, and A Tale of Two Cities with national players.
After raucous runs at the Skirball Center in repertory with the Mikado at Olney Theater Center, she is again joining those Chicago theater hooligans, the hypocrites.
Hypocrites? Yes.
Looks like Christ, but it is definitely the hypocrites. In their reimagined presentation of Pirates of Penzance on stage at the Pasadena Playhouse in their extended run, I might add, through February 25th. We are so happy to welcome her. Please give it up for Tina Munoz-Pandya.
Yeah. Welcome, Tina. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, now, you and your cohort walked in here, and I looked at you guys, and I said, those are pirates performers if I've ever seen one. Are you loving doing this show?
Oh, yeah. It's the most fun.
You've got to have an energy because it is such an amazing ride through the whole thing. Mm-hmm. You can't kind of sit back and just watch it unless you're in the audience, right? If you're on stage, you've got to really be involved in every moment.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You have to be totally on. And even we ask of our audience to be on with us.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Had you ever, were you familiar with Pirates of Penzance before?
I actually, I had done the show in high school. We did it my freshman year of high school, but I also grew up watching the Joe Papp movie version of it with Kevin Kline and Angela Lansbury and Linda Ronstadt. Right. So I knew all the words to Pirates by the time I was 8 years old. So this is perfect for me. It's like a dream come true.
And what part do you play?
I play Isabel, one of the Major General's daughters.
Very nice.
As well as a policeman.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. I have an affinity for the show as well. Mm-hmm. I represented Andy Gibb. I don't know whether you remember Andy. Mm-hmm. One of the youngest brother of the Bee Gees.
Yes.
And we did it here at the Amundsen Theater with Barry Bostwick.
Wow.
And Pam Dauber, who you may not remember from television. Uh-oh, David Barber did. good, David. And it was a beautiful production and so much fun. And then we did it in Toronto and other places. Mm-hmm. So I saw it many times. Many times. But Andy was very good in the role. That was his first time ever on a stage.
Oh, wow.
In a musical.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah.
So, and were you familiar with it, Dana?
No.
Dana?
Not at all.
No?
No. So it was, and actually, the first time that I saw it, don't tell anybody this, even though I'm saying it on the radio.
To thousands of people.
Oh, it's okay.
It's okay. It's just us here. Don't worry about it.
I didn't like it. I was young, and I didn't like it, and it was long. And
it can be dated if it's not done well,
absolutely.
Which, of course, this production has gone way out of its way to update it a little bit. Is that right?
Yeah, it has. We've done things to it that I feel like bring it into the 21st century and make it so that all ages could be entertained.
And I think that's the key words right there, all ages, mm-hmm. because I'm not sure that that's possible, you know, with the Gilbert Sullivan classic version of it. So tell the audience about what these hooligans have done to make it so contemporary and edgy and in your face kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, so many things that we have done to this show. the biggest thing I think that people are taken aback by when they first walk in is we've totally transformed the space into a tiki bar beach party kind of environment. And we ask that the audience, at least some of them, sit on the stage with us. So
I'd like to volunteer right now for that.
Yeah.
I'm so ready.
Please.
Plus, then I can put it on my resume, which is really nice.
It's
how
a lot
cool.
of fun,
what a
though.
Fun thing. That is great. Mm-hmm. Almost a kind of a Disney theme, right? I mean, Disney has Pirates of the Caribbean right next to the tiki room. And I always loved that sort of thing when you go there. You get all that entertainment.
Somebody
and kids just
was at Disney,
right? Right. Well, kids are looking around and they're just loving the palms that stretch down from the tiki room. That's a very fun idea. I love that. Is that the first time that concept's been used?
I mean, as far as I know,
cool.
I
it seems
have not
very
seen
organic.
For
yeah.
this show, I think.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
You know, then there are the panto shows that are done.
Very
that,
true.
Play into the audience. Not quite as overtly as this, but.
And we saw Beauty and the Beast that way, of course, just recently.
Yes.
And they do such a good job up there in Pasadena, both both great venues there, of really bringing audiences in for the entire family to enjoy it. Very cool.
But that was Beauty and the Beast and the Secret Rose?
The Christmas Rose.
Christmas
Rose.
That's right.
That's right. That was the Lithgow family panto.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're doing it all over the country.
Well, it's interesting, too. I mean, obviously, as a performer, you have to be a triple threat anyways. But in this one, a lot of the performers have to be, in fact, very often, a lot of the extra performers are your secondary role, third role sometimes. You have to carry a sword, right? Have you had extensive fight choreography for this show?
We do. No one has weapons in our production.
Really?
Zero weapons. There's even a bit about it.
As a fight choreographer, I hate that because you're taking jobs away. Let's just put a random sword fight in every show is what I've always said. So.
I think what we substitute the sword fighting with, we all play our own instruments, so it's a lot of instrumental kind of stuff. So we instead of battling each other with swords and combat, we use music.
Kind of like the battling banjos kind of thing.
Yeah, totally.
I love that. Now, what instrument do you play?
I play, currently in the show, I play ukulele accordion, washboard, and the musical saw.
My
which Dana taught me how to play recently.
How very piratey, too. Yeah, that's cool.
So the cast is the musical support to the show in its entirety?
Yes.
There's not a band?
No, no supplemental musicians. It's all cast.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's reminiscent of when they did a revival of Company on Broadway.
Yeah, it's exactly the same kind of idea. Yeah.
Which was a beautiful, beautiful revival. Mm-hmm. And what a great show. That's exciting and fun. And if you're extending, the audiences must be loving it. So
yeah, it's been we've gotten such an amazing reception here. People have been loving it, which it makes me happy.
That show is so likable too. I think people leave with such a good feeling
from
it.
Yeah. It's just silly and fun and full of joy.
Yeah.
So Tina, you being such a young woman, when did you know that you were interested in the business of show business?
Oh gosh. I mean, I grew up singing. That was like, you know, choirs and actually Pirates of Penzance, the movie, kind of got me on the musical theater train really early.
That was Mandy Patinkin will do that.
Yeah, right. But I loved theater. I loved seeing theater. I loved playing music and making music. But I didn't really start performing until we did that production of Pirates of Penzance my freshman year of high school. Mm-hmm. And from like that moment forward, I knew that theater was something that was really important to me. And once I kind of got more of a sense of how I fit into it, I you know, I thought, yeah, maybe I could make a living out of this, and so far it's going okay.
Good for you. Well, you know, I think just from the standpoint of the arts in general, and for young people to attach themselves to it is an eye-opening,
no doubt about
kind of
it,
lesson, life lesson. And then there are always those young people who have difficulty at expressing themselves. And it's a perfect outlet for them to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so healing and spiritual to some effect. I mean, I've, you know, as a theater person myself, I have great respect for the theater, not only the what that means in a general kind of artistic way, but even walking into the theater building, you know, and it gets my goat when I see people not dressed properly in the theater to see a show.
Because or not dressed at all. Really, that's the thing that throws you off the most. You walk in, there's just a whole line of naked people sitting there, man. You know it's going to be a rough night.
Not really. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I would do if I walked in and saw that. But,
well, I mean, it's interesting, too, because when you think back to the productions that did that, I don't know if you ever heard about these, but they would do all-nude sit-ins for productions. Yeah, this was like a thing. It was
David
a weird thing.
David is again shaking his head.
Which I think is such a strange thing to think about in our society today.
They did all-nude
sit-ins for theater,
Meaning they were politically...
No, I mean, it was like, I think it was like a, hey, let's cast off these modern accoutrements.
Oh my God.
Yeah, isn't that interesting when you think about it?
Well, it could be if they all were, you know, fabulous-looking people, I guess.
Maybe, but I've always thought that, you know, I'd be the one guy who didn't know and showed up in a suit and tie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're just looking around going, oh, man, now I feel terrible.
Well, you'd be the one guy that would stand out from the crowd.
maybe. Well, this is obviously a great production we're talking about here, Pirates of Penzance. The venue is at the Pasadena Playhouse, which, of course, is located there in the heart of Pasadena. And, of course, you can find tickets online. They start as low as $25, a great price for this show. Pasadena Playhouse.
$25?
$25.
Really?
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Starting looking at tickets, you can zip on to PasadenaPlayhouse.org, or you can always call them at 626-356-PLAY. That's 626-356-PLAY. Obviously a great chance to go see this good show.
Fantastic. So, you know, I did not ask you about your week, by the way.
Would you like to know?
I would like to
know. I spent all week in the theater.
You did?
I've been doing three different shows right now. I'm choreographing three different shows, including Princess Ida, another Gilbert and Sullivan piece that is a fun piece getting ready to go up.
But I've been to that.
I know, right? I don't ever see the sun anymore. I just walk out and I just go, it's just another time of night. It could be 2 a.m. It could, you know, it's so strange. Mm-hmm. Theater people get so used to that. And I had a day off in the middle of the week where I took my kids to a soccer game. And I walked out and it was bright and I felt like a vampire. I got my darkest sunglasses. I put a hat on. I was like, what is this ball of fire in the sky shining down upon me? So, well, yeah, it was all work this week.
Is that the day of the lunar...
Ooh, the blue. Did you see the blue moon, blood moon that was up last night?
I didn't see it in person, but I saw it on the news. And I could have just stepped outside, but wasn't it quite late at night?
Yeah.
Why would I do that?
I woke up.
Did you wake up for it?
I was crazy enough to wake up.
I love that. Did you take pictures?
Yeah.
It was interesting because I saw people starting to post on Instagram and that sort of thing.
There were a couple thousand people that went up to the Griffith Park Observatory.
I'll bet. Of course, there were.
Where they didn't even need, telescopes to see it really.
You could walk outside and it was right there.
Wow. So amazing.
Incredible.
I love that. Well, it's obviously one of those things where, you feel lucky to live in Los Angeles, but also all that light pollution if you're downtown. Mm-hmm. You can just drive 45 minutes and get away from it, mm-hmm. which so many cities you can't do that in. Yeah. So that's a true thing.
Very cool. Won't happen again for how many years?
I didn't see. Did you see a listing?
No, I know that it didn't. It hasn't happened since 1866.
They said once in a lifetime, so I assume at least 80, 90, 100 years, something like
and
that.
And I chose to not step outside. Thank you.
You'll see a picture of it. I wouldn't worry about
it. I saw a picture, but it's not the same thing.
I agree.
Not the same experience.
My favorite is meteor showers, when you go out to watch meteor showers out there.
We saw one.
We did.
2 years ago.
Where was that?
We were doing... Pirates at
Again?
Omni Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were doing it in Maryland, and we saw a meteor shower at like 3 a.m.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, we sat on like a high school... I'm from Maryland, so I knew the spots to go to.
Nice.
We sat on like a high school football field on a towel and just like...
It was incredible.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Wow.
Awesome.
Just the two of you?
That is cool.
Well, there were many people, us and a couple other castmates.
It's interesting too, because there's nothing like a meteor shower to make you feel very, very small.
Oh, yeah.
I need to take a step back and look at my life and understand where we all fit in the big picture. Very cool. My kids are just now getting to the point where they can look up and understand kind of like where the Big Dipper is and that sort of thing. And they ask all these questions and you realize, people were asking those questions without any resources 1,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like, what are the stars? How far away are they? And of course me, I'm like, well, I'll Google it and I'll let you know here in a second. But other people are like, well, let's find a way to calculate that. Let's see. And how often do these events come around, these celestial events, which is...
Have you taken your children to Griffith Park Observatory?
We've never been up there, although of course I've been a number of times. But that's on the list of things that you have to do while you live in LA.
I hate to say this, but you have to be careful now when you go up there, because while you're inside...
James Dean might attack you with a knife.
No.
No? Okay, I could be wrong.
People may be robbing your car.
What?
It's become a trend up there.
Yikes.
It's a terrible thing to even say. How ridiculous.
Fortunately, my car alarm goes off all the time, so I'm sure it won't be a problem. So.
Well, even at that, I mean... just the idea of theft in a place like that, which is another kind of sanctuary.
You're right.
Holiness to some extent.
It encroached upon our world yet again.
Absolutely.
My goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, the show we're talking about right now is The Pirates of Penzance at the Pasadena Playhouse. Just visit PasadenaPlayhouse.org and get your tickets now. It runs through February 25th. Should we take a quick break and do a live arts calendar?
So.
All right. Ladies, you'll hang with us?
Yeah.
Thank you both. We'll be right back. The Glendale Center Theater opens up its 2018 season with the classic Neil Simon comedy, Barefoot in the Park.
Paul and Corey Bratter are newlyweds in every sense of the word. He's a straight as an arrow lawyer, and she's a free spirit always looking for the latest kick.
After a 6-day honeymoon, they get a surprise visit from Corey's loopy mother and she decides to play matchmaker during a date with their neighbor in the attic, Velasco, where everything that can go wrong does, one of Neil Simon's very best.
Don't miss this outstanding production on stage now at the Glendale Center Theater through February 10th. And for tickets or more information, call 818-244-8481 or visit GlendaleCenterTheater.com.
And again,
that's actually spelled with an R-E at the end of center and R-E, of course, at the end of theater.com.
We love the Glendale Center Theater. Obviously, it's one of our favorite venues here. How long have they been in operation now? Do you know, Michael?
60-some-odd years. I think about
that?
65 years.
It's amazing. Yeah. And Barefoot in the Park is such a great piece for that venue. It's such a traditional piece, but they always spice it up and add some new twists.
This is very, if I'm not mistaken, it was Neil Simon's first play on Broadway.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. Now, you've seen it a number of times, yeah?
I've done it, yeah.
When did you do it?
I did it when I was younger.
Were you Velasco?
I was not.
Oh, that'd be a great part for you, though.
I played Paul.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, obviously, I think Neil Simon is one of those pieces that you can go and you can laugh at. And it's also another thing where you can watch it kind of with a modern eye, kind of like Pirates, and go, okay, this is interesting to see where we've started and where we're going to. And whenever you see a piece like that kind of updated, you kind of feel like the history of art, the legacy of art is passed down from person to person through life. live events and live performance. So.
Are you familiar, ladies, with Neil Simon's work?
Yes.
I actually assistant directed a production of Barefoot in the Park in college.
Oh, cool.
That's a fun production, but that's also a tough production to do different. Did you take any new twist on it?
We didn't make a lot of effort to set it in the time it was written in,
cool.
So we kind of like let ourselves set it in the world that we live in.
And did Mr. Simon know about that?
Probably not. It was a pretty small production in our little
black
box.
College productions are the time to do that,
yeah,
right?
Right?
Jump out there and give it a try.
Yeah.
Well, Neil, if you're listening now to this program.
I have the
In fact, he's
respect.
On the phone right now. He has something he wants to say to you.
Oh, no, right. Oh, God.
Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest boasts an impressive resume with recent credits including Pirates of Penzance at the Skirball Center, Gilbert and Sullivan Unplugged with 54 Below, HMS Pinafore with American Repertory Theater, and Actors Theater of Louisville.
She appeared in Kitty Hawk at the Adrian Arsht Center, the Mikado, and Pirates of Penzance in Rep with Only Theater Center and American Repertory Theater and Cabaret, as well as a remount of All Our Tragic. All Our Tragic? It repeats itself?
All Our Tragic? All Our Tragic? Is it a dual
title?
Just one.
Just one tragic.
You got carried away there.
It's not near as tragic as I once thought, so there's a little bit of hope.
To continue that sentence, a remount of All Our Tragic with the Hypocrites.
She also appeared in The Miraculous Journey of Edward Tulane at People's Light Theater, 100 Dresses with Chicago Children's Theater, and was recently on NBC's Chicago PD.
Cool. She makes her Pasadena Playhouse debut with the Hypocrites in their production of Pirates of Penzance, and we are so excited to have her with us today. Tell us a little bit more about this reimagining of the Gilbert and Sullivan classic. Please welcome Dana Omar.
Yeah. Obviously,
the
most applause
you.
I've ever gotten.
Nah, I'm sure that's not true. But one of the things that I love about this is you've had a heart of Gilbert and Sullivan for a while. Tell me about Gilbert and Sullivan Unplugged.
Oh, that was really cool. That was just an experience that we got to do in New York at a really great establishment. But that was basically just us playing the songs that we've gotten to know over the past couple of years. So we normally do these shows. We do three of these shows. We do HMS Pinafore, Pirates of Penzance, and the Mikado, and they're
wow.
all reimagined. And they're all
cool.
They've all toured the country basically, and Louisville and New York, Boston at the American Rep Theater, and Berkeley, and here, and so we've kind of been everywhere. But they're all reimagined, and they're all with folk instruments. So they're all with some woodwind stuff or a musical saw thrown in.
And is this show Unplugged, the production at the Pasadena Playhouse, is that an Unplugged production?
No, we're playing. Well, I mean, it's not electric, although
right.
maybe one day.
That'd be so cool.
I think that'd be really neat.
No, we have at least a couple of guitars mic'd and sometimes different instruments mic'd, but some of our folk instruments are unplugged. So,
very cool.
Yeah.
Well, are there any moments in the show that are kind of harken back to the original? I mean, is there any trace of the original in it?
Absolutely. I mean, I think a lot of the time purists will walk in and they'll be thrown back for mm-hmm. sure. But you still see them singing along. You still see them kind of experiencing the show in a different way. But it seems as if they get, and they've told us that they still receive the same type of joy that they had when they first saw the show. And all the songs are the same. They're just catered differently to different instruments.
Hmm.
But you'll still hear the same melodic lines. Like, I play the flute, and you'll still hear that if you're really familiar with the music. And all of the, most of the languages stayed the same, too. So
cool.
Just set differently.
How do you think that if they made a remake of the original motion picture,
With this,
I think that would be received probably super well. Right?
I would hope so. I would. The biggest thing about this show, the reason that the show works so well, is because of the audience sitting on stage with us.
And not the whole audience.
No, not the whole audience. Yeah. But the promenade, you can opt to buy promenade tickets, which means that you're basically our 11th cast member. You come and you sit.
Do you have
on
to be equity?
No, but you do have to audition at the door.
Oh, right.
you have to sing Modern Major General.
I can barely say it. I don't think I could ever sing it.
No, so yeah, it's pretty incredible because it's you get to experience it with us in your face, and you move around, and you, if you don't like the seat where you are sitting currently, you just get up and move to a different seat.
Nice.
And it's a really interesting way of seeing theater, yeah, for sure. Interactive and in your face. So,
well, now, yeah, there, go ahead, Michael.
No.
There are people listening right now who maybe don't know some of the songs from Pirates. They may know Modern Major General, but can you name off a couple of the other amazing songs that are in the show?
Sure. Climbing Over Rocky Mountain, which is a cute sister song. Leave Me Not to Pine, which is my favorite song.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, beautiful. It's a ballad, a beautiful ballad.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Poor Wandering One.
Poor
classic.
Wandering One is a classic.
Soprano aria. Yeah.
And it's funny, I very often, when I choreograph a production of this, people will be sitting in the audience and they won't recognize it until they get partway through it. And then they'll start kind of mouthing the words along. And that's fun to watch, people who've heard these in different venues. That's cool.
Absolutely.
Dana, I want to ask you the same question I asked Tina about. When did you know that this was what you wanted to do with your life?
Oh, boy. I fell in love with music first.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 10, I started playing
the flute. Because there was musical influence in your family?
Yeah,
Your folks singer?
No, no one else is a musician.
Oh,
no,
really?
It's just me and my family. But actually, my eldest sister, she played the flute first. But I think music is just a part of our family's culture, and I think it was so heavily influenced on me that I loved it so much. I think I just loved music from the very beginning.
Mm.
And then I auditioned for Cinderella when I was like 12, and I was bit. There was no turning back.
Did you play Cinderella?
No, I played an evil stepsister.
Did you see what pride she said?
Yeah.
That? No, I played an evil stepsister.
I love playing.
That's right.
It's a little too prideful.
That's a great
No, I love playing like the offbeat weirdo characters. They're my favorite. So
I had a professor in college who loved those kind of characters, and she always thought that they were the most interesting in all the classic fairy tales.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely are. Yeah, for sure.
What's the most edgy character like that you're referring to that you have played?
Oh, I was going to say ever. Boy. So for me, I've played a lot of villains. I've done, because I always like Tybalt in R&J, which is always one of those ones that everybody always wants to play Mercutio, and I'm like, no, give me Tybalt. I want to be the cat. Yeah. So I like Shakespeare villains a lot like that, but it's interesting. In regular theater, I played the wolf in Little Red Riding Hood one time, which was fun. And I mean, you realize that there is something about that catharsis of playing kind of evil personified and on stage, because you get to walk off and you feel so good.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, I left that there, and now I can walk through my life thinking of all the good things you could do. So, do you play villains at all, Michael?
I don't. No, when I was acting, no. I could never be cast as that. I
mean, really?
Yeah, nobody would buy that from me.
But
you know what? The thing was that I would always be typed because I was, you know, had dark hair.
Sure.
And my Italian, French, Spanish influence with my mother's side of German and Irish somewhere in there. Actually, in the days that I was acting, especially on television and commercials, there was this time, they looked at the All-American Boy as being blonde and blue-eyed and would never have cast some dark features to be an All-American kid.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Which is funny, because that's exactly what you are.
I mean, well, you know, the irony of that is my agent called and said, hey, you've got an audition. They want to see you for a Safeguard soap commercial. And I said, really? And it is predicated on you playing tennis. You know how to play tennis. And I said, absolutely.
You always say absolutely.
Sure.
And then you get busy learning how to do it.
When is the audition? And it was like in 3 days. So, of course, I went out and I taught myself with a friend who taught me, how to look at least decent.
Right.
But I was the only dark-haired person on the call.
Wow.
And everybody else, all the other boys were blonde and blue-eyed.
Wow.
And I did get the job.
Nice.
Hey.
Which was cool. And I made a ton of money. Actually, I bought a Jaguar.
Wow.
With awesome. My earnings.
Wow.
And I was young. I was like, turned 18 or something at that point.
Wow. You couldn't buy an American car.
No, you know what? I had fantasized about, Jaguar.
And sure, who didn't?
I had the money, so I bought it, which was kind of goofy because, it was a very expensive car to take care of.
Yeah, that is. Yeah. You could better get a lot more jobs coming forward to pay for the maintenance on a Jaguar from that era. But they do look pretty, man. Beautiful cars.
But as far as the type of characters that I played, when I say it was dark, it was kind of the boy next door, or the best friend of, in movies and TV. So, but I'm not complaining. I had a great time doing it, and did some wonderful things. met some wonderful people.
I was going to say, met some really cool people.
Yep.
Still friends today with so many of those people, aren't you?
Yes, yeah. I am indeed.
It's a great thing about this industry is we get to meet so many people. We've actually spoken a lot about the musical legacy of Pirates of Penzance, mm-hmm. the great performers who came before us and that sort of thing. Of course, Andy Gibb, Mandy Patinkin, my favorites as well. Do you ever think about, right, of course, do you ever think about that when you're on stage? Just think about how many people, because this is such a play that's been done so many times in so many years. Do you ever think about how many people have played this role before you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that does flash through my brain sometimes. And it's interesting to think about, well, specifically, I'm double cast. I'm Ruth and I'm Mabel. So then I think about the two different people that ended up playing both of those roles.
How to differentiate.
Yeah. But I think it's really interesting because, like you said, like how art has changed and how society reflects art and how all of that kind of bubbles up different issues as time goes on. So
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I must tell you, I share with you kind of a bittersweet story, actually. Before Andy Gibb went into the production here in Los Angeles, we flew to New York to see it with Linda Ronstadt.
Ugh. Wow.
Cool.
And on that particular evening, Andy's family and himself were very friendly with Karen Carpenter.
Of course.
And so we took Karen with us to the theater, and she, you know, this was toward the end of her life, which no one really knew was coming, though we knew that she was not well. And she began singing, Karen began singing out loud with Linda Ronstadt as she was performing, to the extent of where we had to leave.
She didn't know she wasn't supposed to do that?
Yeah.
Wow. Mm.
Just didn't...
you know, her brother Richard, and they lived in Thousand Oaks for a while, just up here, just a little bit north of us. So yeah. Karen has a voice that will last for all eternity. Just amazing.
Remarkable. Yeah. Remarkable. And, you know, a lovely brother, Richard. But it was a sad thing to see this woman, you know, not really comprehend what was going on
at
that moment in time.
So hard. Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm sure it was just a glitch. But, you know, we had to get her out of there gracefully. And how do you do that when you're sitting in house seats?
And everybody knows who you
Linda
are.
Watching Linda Ronstadt. And you're a celebrity.
Wow.
But, you know, we didn't talk about it after that. We didn't say anything, you know, on the way home. So,
did Andy enjoy his time playing in Pirates?
He did. And, you know, he really was a very good Frederick.
I'll bet he really was.
He was charming. And, you know, he was a charming boy. Mm-hmm. He just, in real life, had so many problems.
Yeah.
But, very charming in that role, yeah. As he was in Joseph. He was the first celebrity to go into Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat on Broadway.
Cool.
He replaced Bill Hutton, who did the role originally. And again, another role that was made for Andy Gibb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Dana, do you play an instrument in the show as well?
I do.
What are your instruments?
She says with a laugh.
Collecting. As years go on.
I don't know. We'll decide tonight when I get there.
So I play the flute, the banjo, and the ukulele. And then in general, I also tack on the guitar. I play the accordion in the show as well. And then the musical saw.
The big accordion or the little ones? Really?
Yeah, it's Tina's accordion.
We share the accordion in the show.
Just so you know, in the future, when you negotiate contracts, make them pay you by the number of instruments you play.
Just keep going up.
We both keep collecting
instruments. We do.
The voice you're listening to is Dana Omar, and we are talking about Pirates of Penzance at the Pasadena Playhouse. Again, go online to PasadenaPlayhouse.org to get tickets there. As low as $25, right, Michael?
I know. I admire you for playing the accordion because when I was little, that was the first instrument that my parents made me play. I hate it.
Really?
It was so huge. It was so big.
It's gigantic.
It was so cumbersome. And I wasn't good at it.
I don't know if you've ever seen Michael's headshot, but he had a very boyish look. And this was when he was in his teens that I've seen. But can you imagine little Michael with his hair perfectly combed in a very nice, I'm sure, shirt and tie probably at the time with this giant accordion trying to...
I mean, if you come see the show, you'll see like both me running around in a tutu with a huge accordion. It's instant comedy as an instrument.
Well, that's fantastic.
It's in the right place at the right time.
It's definitely not for everyone. I picked it up. I actually just learned it in December for this show specifically for our New York run. I just thought you'd pick it up. Well, they needed someone to play it, and I love
volunteering. The same thing with auto repair. You know, pick it up.
Just pick it up. But I took to it immediately. I like. It made sense. I'm a cellist like that was what I was brought up playing. So
you spoke the language.
I knew music, and big instruments like are the only things that feel like real instruments to me. So I'm like, it has to be big and substantial and heavy. But I immediately, like, I fell in love with the accordion right away. I'm like, it feels like the instrument I was always meant to play. I love it.
We gotta train you on the piccolo or something real tiny, just to, so when you get a little bit older, you don't have back problems.
Yeah. Either of you play the violin?
No, I wish I did.
We do have a violinist in the show.
I know, we do have a violin, and she's amazing.
Yeah.
We have a violinist in the show, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Flute, but you play flute.
Yes, mm-hmm. I do. My parents were smart. They gave me the first instrument that you can't make a noise on until you know how to play it, and that's great for practicing.
Interesting.
I was practicing upstairs, and they
that's
didn't have to hear it until
it's
I
It's not the drums,
okay,
right? Yeah, that's very smart.
Or reed instruments.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah, you're honking like a goose in there. Yeah.
All of that does not sound
What about piano,
good.
The most basic?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's the most. It's beautiful. That's when I took to was piano eventually, but it was hard for me to read music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I did study it, but I could play anything, but really by ear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know where that came from, but I only play today exactly what I remember playing as a child. I can't adapt to anything.
So do you still play? Do you have a piano in your house?
No.
Really?
No. They had an electric keyboard at one point.
Yeah, those electric keyboards are so great because you can keep them in a that's what my kids are learning on, so a compact space. And I love that. I love that you play that.
That's incredible that you can still remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, by I can just sit down and do it.
That's incredible.
From difficult songs to, you know, the easy stuff.
Yeah, like stuff you played a lot.
Yeah.
I have the same thing. I haven't played the cello regularly in a long time, but there are some songs that I just, like, know how to play still for some reason.
And
they
these shows are seared into my brain.
Oh, yeah.
So the Pirates of Penzance will never leave. I'll be able to play that for a very long time.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, well, ladies, I hate to tell you this, and this is a scary time on the show.
And now, embarrassing moments.
This is a small segment we do here at the end of the show. Just real quick stories about maybe something embarrassing that's happened during your career. You got anything, Dana?
I've been trying to rack my brain. I don't get embarrassed very easily. but I have fallen at least 4 times during this show.
My goodness.
And twice was a collective audience gasp afterwards, which is always super
really?
Fun.
Yeah. Are you on a rake? Or
what made you
start rolling towards them?
It's just me.
I see you're a dancer.
but, you know, I fell. We have these, like, tiny kiddie pools that are set up, which are super fun. People like to sit in them. Uh-huh. But we also have things that are choreographed.
Do they have water in them?
No.
Oh.
No.
You're sure this is a theater production and not like some back alley club, correct? Filled with Jello or something strange.
I'm almost positive.
All right, well,
I'm not sure.
We're gonna at the venue. You'd think, but you never know.
I don't know.
And did you trip over the? You tripped over the kiddie pool.
I was in the pool, and it's up on a different level. And I got out of the pool, and I tripped, and I fell out. And this was in the Chopin. This was in the Chicago Chopin, which is a really awesome theater. But I tripped out of, and I heard the entire, it was like slow motion too. I was like, oh no, this is happening.
You could feel it. This is going to hurt.
This is going to hurt today or tomorrow or for a week. And then I fell out and immediately I heard the audience go, and then I popped back up and I was like, I'm all right. Okay. Everything's fine.
Did you actually say that?
Yes, I did.
Did the audience applaud?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
They did. They're always
That's
okay.
That's fantastic.
Okay.
That one counts. That counts on our embarrassing.
Great.
That may make our Hall of Fame. Those,
yay.
Those kiddie pools are dangerous because you can't quite get your footing.
Yeah.
You know, and so you get that trip, and then you have that forward momentum. Those always scare me.
Yeah.
I went over one when I was younger. I was running through the backyard, and I caught my foot on the lip. And I remember the feeling of flying through the air and going, how did this happen?
It's slow motion.
It does. Very funny. How about you, Tina? You got something for us?
I also don't embarrass that easily, and I think these shows, specifically because they're so, like, kind of casual and fun and immersive, like, if you do embarrass yourself, it's more fun for everyone because the show is already so ridiculous.
Sure.
And we've gone through so much.
Yeah.
Like, there's anything could happen any night.
Yeah. Mm.
So that, like, it kind of prepares you for everything.
I think we found out why they don't have swords in this production.
Yeah, no, it would be a disaster.
No blades.
Yeah, I mean, we already have instruments, and, like, every time you fall, you know. But I did this one, I think it actually was my first time performing in this production of Pirates when we were out in Maryland. We did Climbing Over Rocky Mountain. I was one of the daughters. We were dancing and singing. And I went up to go do my solo. My voice cracked like it has never cracked before. And then I ran up to do the blocking. I ran straight into another person.
Oh, no.
And then, and she was supposed to be singing at that point. And then on my way up, after I ran into her, my tutu caught on a piece of the set and just kind of ripped.
This is all in one performance?
All in one, like all in the span of maybe 10 seconds.
So you got
seconds.
Them all out at once.
Wow.
Wow.
And my, like, I had family there. I had friends at the show, and I was like, I'm so sorry you
right.
had to see that.
That's why it had to happen then.
Yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
goodness.
Also,
oh.
one time I stood up in my tutu. It was when Frederick is singing, Is There Not One Maiden Breast, where he's, like, trying to woo the daughters, and we're totally falling for it. And I stood up at one point, and my tutu just fell down.
Wow.
Which is hilarious.
Hilarious at that time,
yeah.
right?
But I was kind of like, I don't know how to handle this. I hope no one saw.
Man, people that boy saw. Can sing,
yeah.
you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We played it off. It was great. Yeah. But stuff like that happens in this show all the time.
That's funny. Well, this sounds like a great production. Again, it's running at the Pasadena Playhouse, which is one of our favorite venues here in the Southland, extended now through February 25th, Tuesday through Friday at 8 to 8 p.m. in the evening, Saturday at 2 p.m. and 8 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. Great times for these shows. A great price at $25.
Yeah,
no
$25
excuse not to go
online.
See it.
Online, you can purchase those tickets at PasadenaPlayhouse.org or by telephone at 626-356-7529, which spells out play.
That's right.
356-7529, area code 626. And the Pasadena is one of the most beautiful and historic theaters in the country.
It's incredible.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
It really is a beautiful place. Dana, where can people find out more about you and what you have going on? Do you have a website?
I don't, but I'm working on one. I'm sure.
I'm working on that.
I'm working
classic.
On it.
Obviously, they can check you out on social media. Yeah,
yeah? You can find me on Instagram, Domar to the Max, two X's, or Facebook, either way.
And Dana, if you want to go to our Facebook page at LA State of the Arts, you can find her there as well, and then check out what's going on with her and upcoming projects. How about you, Tina?
I also am building my website currently. A two-year-long process so far. But you can find me on Instagram, TinaMP, I think is what it is. I'm also on Twitter and Facebook and all that fun.
And we'll tag her, of course, on our post as well here on State of the Arts. So.
You're on Twitter?
Yes, I am.
And are you on Twitter?
No.
You're not? Why
no.
is that?
I feel like I have to minimize my social media nowadays.
Right.
So I'm all, yeah, like,
well,
I feel like
job.
It takes on, yeah, it takes on so much. So
it's
I'm, like, only focusing on two and... Maybe.
If only our president would only focus on...
Do you have another hour?
Right. Well, and while you're online checking out these girls' post on their social media and finding out more about Pirates of Penzance, go ahead and jump over and check out Barefoot in the Park at the Glendale Center Theater.
Yep.
You can jump on there and check out tickets for that. That show's running right now all the way through February 10th, so another week and a half to see that. And then, of course, we'd encourage you to go visit PasadenaPlayhouse.org, find out more about what they've got coming up, and, of course, this great production of Pirates of Penzance.
Exactly.
Michael, where do I see you next week?
You see me on the radio, but ladies, thank you for being
here. Big applause.
Here.
Thanks for having
me. Absolutely. Thanks. Great time.
Oh, my.
Her tutu just fell off.
That's right. No singing involved.
It fell out of a kiddie pool.
Every time.
Yeah.
But we'll look forward to seeing you, Andrew. Thank you, as always. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to us. And we will see you next week.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.